All right, there were no Patriots involved, so did you watch the big game last night?
Zeros on the clock. The benches will empty. And this one is over. Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
That's the call from Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Lots to talk about, and here with us to check the score is Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, Callum, how's it going?
And listeners, we'd like to bring you in as well. Did you watch the game last night? If you did, what were your biggest takeaways? And do you think the Pats can contend for a title again next year? Whatever you thought, give us a ring, 1-800-423-8255, or tweet us at Radio Boston. Chris, what did you see on the field last night? I mean, we had a lot of Patriots connections, Jimmy G out there, former Patriots receiver Wes Welker was on the sidelines as a coach. I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes. Is this guy the new face of the league officially as of last night?
I think absolutely. It was really kind of a coronation moment for him. And I also think what you're seeing is the transformation of the quarterback position. And really, last night was a clash of two styles. You had the 49ers, which are built around this great defense and this all-around great team, versus the high-powered, star-driven offense of the Chiefs. And obviously, the Chiefs' offense ultimately got the job done.
Of course, one big part of that offense is Tyreek Hill, who has had several brushes with domestic violence accusations, Chris, and nevertheless continues to be out on the field, rewarded with a big contract before this season. What did we learn about sort of the status of how the league treats that issue in 2020?
I think the headline is basically the league doesn't know what to do, that they have been inconsistent throughout. They get into this murky area where they want to wait for the justice system to play out in the legal world, but then in some cases they step in when the justice system doesn't want to, and in some cases they don't. They really haven't reached any kind of consistent approach to disciplinary issues. And for those who know about the Tyreek Hill story, there's some pretty disturbing audio of him talking to his fiance then and about their child and child abuse claims. The police basically say that a crime was committed, but they couldn't prove who was at fault.
So one of the many continuing stumbling blocks for the NFL. Looking ahead to next season, Chris, we were talking about, you know, what does the future hold for Tom Brady? And maybe we got a little hint. Maybe we didn't last night during the commercial segment. But I want to play an ad that certainly had my blood pressure rising for a moment there. Chris, take a listen.
They say all good things must come to an end. So to my teammates, my family, and my fans, you deserve to hear this from me. Hulu doesn't just have live sports. According to the script they just gave me, Hulu also.
What are you doing to me, Tommy? You can't do that. I don't know about you. I literally caught my breath in my throat there for just a split second.
Of course. Well, because the beauty of this ad was the setup, right? Because a couple days earlier, he tweeted an image from the ad, which was him sort of walking down a tunnel into the shadows. It looked like an exit. It was.
Well, you had everybody dissecting the angles of his feet. Is he leaving? Is he going to the field? I mean, it's just unbelievably vague. And then for it just to be an ad for Hulu, you cannot toy with our emotions like that.
Okay, but the ad did end. We didn't quite get to the whole ad. Yeah. He ends and says, I'm not going anywhere. How do we read that, Chris? Does that mean I'm not going anywhere, like I'm going to keep on playing, or I'm not going anywhere, like I'm staying in New England?
I mean, it depends on your worldview, right? Like, my dad texted me and said, I'm so glad Brady's coming back next year. I said, let's wait till we see a contract. I don't know. The Patriots are technically the favorite in Vegas to land Brady, but there are teams that we know that are aggressively pursuing him. The Raiders, who are moving to Las Vegas, being one of them. His hometown, Chargers, could potentially be a landing spot. There are a number of teams that are going to want him. The question is he worried about money? Is he worried about the best chance to win? Is he worried about the weapons around him? And how are the teams that are pursuing him going to handle that?
All right. While we have you, Chris, I do want to touch on the Red Sox because it is Truck Day, which is sort of an unofficial holiday in the baseball world around here, where it's sun deprived, and at least we imagine that truck, you know, zooming off down to Fort Myers, Florida. Let's take a listen to that. It just sounds melodious. And zoom, yes. That's 20,000 baseballs.
Zooming into a very uncertain future.
Yeah, so about that. This is a weird kind of truck day, right? So the Red Sox don't have a manager in place right now. And the biggest thing, I think, on a lot of fans' minds, Chris, is what's going to happen to Mookie Betts? What do we know about the latest?
Yeah, so this has been a rumor that's been bubbling for a long time. We've talked about it on the show before, but it really feels like things are starting to pick up. I want to play something that Ken Rosenthal said today on MLB Network. He's very tapped into league sources. Here's what he had to say.
I would not be surprised if it happened today or tomorrow.
Wow.
The talks have continued over the weekend. There seems to be a good amount of momentum for the Dodgers.
So it really seems to be Dodgers or Padres as the favorite to land Mookie Betts, but everybody is saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I could not be more frustrated by this approach. I don't know how you feel about it. When you have great talent, transcendent talent, one of the best players, all-around players in the game, you got to keep him here, right?
Well, the fear, of course, is that it comes back to haunt you later. And I talked about this about a month ago with Gordon Eads. He's a longtime baseball reporter for the Globe and then ESPN. He's now the Red Sox team historian. And we were talking about this symmetry of the Mookie Betts coming up on free agency in the same year that we mark the 100th anniversary of the Babe Ruth trade. Here's what Gordon Eads had to say about that.
The powers that be, the John Henrys and the Tom Werners and the Chaim Blooms and the Sam Kennedys, aware of the symmetry of Mookie being in a walk year the same year that we sold the Babe, I'm sure they're aware of it. Is it impacting the decision-making process? Absolutely not, I think.
And he's on the inside, Chris.
Really definitive answer there.
But I guess the real question there, right, is this the curse 2.0? Is that what we could be looking at here?
I mean, I don't think we're looking at 86 years of championship drought, but I think it speaks to a problem that I think a lot of fans have with this ownership, and that is this approach of, we have this homegrown talent. This is a known commodity. We are not going to pay what it takes to keep this player here. And then in a year or two, when fans start to push back and say, hey, this team is not up to par, we want to be a contender, then they sign somebody who's not quite as good, but for big money. And you saw that happen with John Lester. John Lester, they insult him with a low offer. He leaves town, and then all of a sudden they have to fill a starting pitching void, so they overpay David Price, who did bring us a World Series, but now that contract is an albatross that they're looking to try to get out of. And I just think it speaks to the overall position of this ownership to try to cut corners when they can. There's no salary cap in baseball. There's a luxury tax, so they might have to cut a check for a little more money. But if you've been over there, I think they're doing all right profit margin-wise. So I'd like to see them pay the players and put the best team on the field they can.
Well, let's just check the market, right? I mean, John Henry's a commodities trader. How are the commodities doing, right? And then maybe we can see whether we can afford Mookie Betts. Bottom line, Chris, will they be contenders?
When your payroll is what these guys are, it's an embarrassment when you're not a contender. They seem to have a great year followed by a crazy year. I mean, who knows, really? They don't have a manager. This is a season unlike any other. We'll have to see what happens. Jason Varitek is being named as the favorite, as the possible manager. They might be waiting until this report comes out from the commissioner's office on the 2018 season to figure out what actual cheating went on in terms of the sign stealing. I don't know. They want to maybe see if an inside guy's tainted or not. Basically, it's hard to know until you know what they're putting on the field and who's going to be calling the shots, whether or not they're going to contend.
All right. That's Radio Boston's Chris Sidorek. Chris, as always, thanks for checking the score.
Thanks for having me.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Sidorek, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director, with engineering today by Matt Lissette. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.